Welcome to Support After Abortions podcast. My name is Nathan Masserian, and I'll be hosting a dedicated series called Men Healing from Trauma. In our culture, men are not validated who've experienced trauma through miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or even abortion. Through this series, you'll hear firsthand experiences. You'll also hear from clergy, clinicians, and experts in the field of healing to provide practical ways that both men and women can heal from the impact of abortion. Thank you so much for joining us for this Men Healing from Trauma. One of our important opportunities is to speak to how men are impacted through various things that our society would not typically say cause trauma. And the topic for today's episode is lost fatherhood. And I'm so pleased to have a board member of Support After Abortion and a friend, a leader in our movement, Pastor Mark Little. Thank you so much for being here today.
Good day to you, Nathan. It's good to be with you and for all those watching with Support After Abortion. It's good to be here.
Mark, you've been so generous with your time this year, being part of our national task force about how to provide healing to men. And before we get into some of the core things that you have in your ministry and in your heart to share, just give us a little background to those who are listening and watching, who you are as a son, a man, and a co-leader in a wonderful and very meaningful ministry that you lead in California.
Thank you so much. I am Pastor Mark Little. I go by that title. That's my favorite title. I'm the pastor over No Longer Bound, Abortion and Miscarriage Recovery Ministry based in Los Angeles, California. But I am also a son. I'm the son of a single mother who raised me in West Haven, Connecticut. I'm the son of a former Hall of Fame football player, Floyd Little, who passed away this year in 2021. I'm the husband of Tigra Little, married since 1994, together since 1985, a long relationship. I'm the father of an amazing seven-year-old son named Jacob that the Lord has given us as a gift to steward. I'm an attorney here in Los Angeles. I've been practicing since 1994, fighting sometimes in court, but mostly trying to heal parties who are broken. And that's a snapshot of my life. I have been privileged to be in the political sphere. I believe that faith and politics must be married if we're going to change our culture. You can't change a community unless you have relationships with the policymakers. And so the church cannot afford to sit at home and not be engaged in politics and in the public square. And so that's a snapshot of how I spend my time in prayer and how I spend my days day to day.
Thank you for sharing that. One of the things that you've been speaking on and you've watched the Lord move in your ministry is speaking to men and in a certain way that men have been impacted, whether it's through a miscarriage experience, abortion, and others. Just speak about the ministry that you lead and this concept, this terminology about lost fatherhood as context for the need for men to go through a healing process.
Men, just like women, have been engaged and participated in aborting their children. What men often don't realize is the pain associated with that experience. As men, we're built to produce and to have seed in the earth. That was the first commandment in the Bible. And so when we abort our children, and then the culture tells us that we don't have a voice, we get through it, but we carry that backpack of pain through most of our lives. When I minister to men, I remind them that they're image bearers And so was their seed that they allowed to be aborted. And in some cases, it's a miscarriage. And so it's a different pain, but it's still pain. And men aren't often approached with the idea of acknowledging the pain, acknowledging what happened in their relationships around children that have been lost. And when they encounter the opportunity to address it, in many cases for the first time, because men have been shut out of the conversation, they're eager to heal and to walk in healing. And so I've said to men that a house divided against itself cannot stand. What does that mean? The Bible in Matthew 12, verses 22 through 30, it talks about Jesus, who had been healing the sick, and the Pharisees criticized him, and he said, can Satan cast out himself? And he was talking about the fact that he was not operating as Beelzebub, but in fact, as the Savior, who was casting out the demons. He wasn't casting out himself as Beelzebub, he was casting out demons as the living Savior. And then he went on to say that, and I'm paraphrasing here, he went on to say that how can the enemy plunder a kingdom if the strong man is not bound? In other words, if the strong man is bound, that's the only way that a house can be plundered. And so I say to men, I said, our culture has decayed and our children have been lost because the headship over our homes has been bound. The word says strong man, meaning not just physically strong, but strong even in our minds. Strong man, meaning physically strong and mentally strong. And the enemy can't have our children if the strong man is on his post. And so I've called men to walk in the authority that God gave them, to be on their post, to protect not only their household, to cover it in prayer, to protect their wives, but to protect their children, which is what we were made to do. We were made to produce and to protect. And I have found that when men understand that they have a voice and that the author of lies, Satan, has told them that they can't have a voice and they can't protect, when they understand 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, it says that the God of this age confuses the minds of the unbelievers. And I say to them, are you an unbeliever?
Wow.
No, I'm not. Then you shouldn't be confused by Satan. He has convinced you that you don't have a say in what happens to your seed. And it's a lie.
Mark,
and because you believed the lie,
I'd like to just spend a moment on this very important part you're saying. And our culture certainly has told men they don't have a voice. That may also mean men don't know how to have a voice. So what are ways that you help men to have that voice? What should they say? I'm hearing things they should think, but maybe talk us through, how do they express themselves in a way that's their God-given right to express themselves?
Absolutely. If you're a believer and you're watching this, it's so important for you to understand your identity in Christ as a man. It's so important. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 tells you your identity. Your identity is to be salt and light. Your identity is to be salt and light. Both of those elements change the culture. They shine the truth of the gospel. And if you're a man and you're listening and you're confused about how you are to respond to a culture that says you don't have a voice, you first have to be rooted in your identity, that Jesus Christ tells you that you have a voice. You must understand that you as a man have a God-given authority. You have a position, and that position is to walk in authority. Now, what does authority look like? Authority doesn't mean that you get to be a dictator. Authority means that you are representing the model that Christ gave us. The scripture says that men are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Let me give you a metaphor. Authority looks like love. When you learn what love looks like, you will not only walk in authority, but the respect of your headship and authority is then returned to you. And here's the metaphor. Every morning, God sets the sun in the sky. And when that sun begins to rise, the flowers in the field begin to open up and they begin to greet the sun every morning. That's a response to authority. And so when you shine your love in your own home, your wife and your children, they respond like the flowers in the field. They blossom and open up because that's how they're made to respond to you walking in your authority. And so when you shine in the morning and they respond with respect, it is a cycle that repeats itself day in and day out. And when you shine and you get respect, then you have a voice. You have a voice to say, no, we're not going to do this. No, we're not going to do that. And they will listen and respond to you because they know you love them and you're not going to harm them.
Thank you. Thank you for being so clear in that. You and I were speaking before today's broadcast that there is room for people who didn't have a voice, who look back with regret, with shame, with sometimes unawareness that their quietness led to an abortion or didn't know how to help a spouse or a girlfriend grieve properly, even through a miscarriage. So what are some of the ways people who are watching and listening can start their healing process? They can start by identifying their identity in Christ, start to have a voice, but you know, we all come with the past. So how do we reconcile the past?
I'm going to respond in two ways. And the first way is in scripture, to understand what Jesus said and what the gospels say, what Paul wrote. First, Jesus in Luke 4 and 18, repeated the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I won't quote the whole verse, but he said, I've come to set the captives free, to set free the oppressed. And so many of us, We battle with having been molested as children. That we battle with a father that may not have understood how to show love, and or maybe a father who wasn't even there. And you have aborted fatherhood. You have the the pain of having been abandoned as a little boy. And you're dealing with, how can I even be a father when I didn't have a proper model? My model was the guy in the street that was selling dope. How can I be a father in a Christ-like way? You're struggling with that brokenness, and that pain is real. That pain is real. Jesus said he came to set you free. And what I want to say to you now in a practical way is in Romans 8, in verse 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, I want you to read that. Because it says, there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. Read that verse, because it tells you that you can talk about what happened to you with your Christian brothers and sisters. There should be no condemnation. And for those pastors who are watching, it's so important to grab hold to that verse, because people are bound because they're afraid of how the church is going to respond to their own experience. Even their experience in your church. People are afraid, and they're bound to come forward to say, I've been hurt. And so we have to find ourselves living in that verse for our brothers and sisters. Galatians 6 and 2 says, we're to bear one another's burdens that we might fulfill the law of Christ. So I wanna say to that broken man that the first step is speaking aloud your pain, wherever it comes from.
Wow.
Give voice to it, because your words have power. Your words have power to cry out, God, I'm hurting. Please heal my broken heart. I'm hurting because I feel unloved. My father wasn't there for me. And I feel unloved. I don't know what I did to deserve to be abandoned. And then as you begin to give voice to your pain, I promise you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and begin to heal. That's why he left the Paraclete. The Paraclete is the Holy Spirit, one who comes alongside you, walks alongside you, and brings comfort. It's real. It's real. Believe me when I tell you. And then the body of Christ, as you begin to hitch your arms with fellow men, that bond is going to heal your broken heart. Because that's what community, that's what is called the ecclesia, the church, the assembly of believers is all about. Give voice to your pain. Face it. That's the only way you're going to get it out of your heart and heal it, so that you can walk in your authority to be what God has called you to be. He's called you to be salt and light, a change agent for your home, community, and even the nation. I promise you.
Mark, for those that want to connect with you, would you share ways that you want to be connected? And then I'll just have a few closing remarks.
You can reach me by going on to the No Longer Bound website. It's nolongerboundministry.org. Nolongerboundministry.org. You won't see my name or face there, because the ministry is not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. But if you email us there, I'll get it. And I want to walk with you through your healing.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark. for spending just a few minutes with us, which could easily be more than the time that we've had today. So I look forward to having you again share the things that you're experiencing and learning and helping people be no longer bound, and for sharing that scripture so wisely with us. For those who are watching and listening, we have additional resources available, including testimonies of men who are walking through their healing process. You can learn and watch those videos at supportafterabortion.com. We also have a confidential hope line and email service that our trained staff are also standing by, ready to be a vehicle and support for you without judgment and with love as part of your healing journey. So Pastor Mark, thank you for joining us today. And we look forward for all of those who are watching and listening to come back again for our next episode. Thank you for participating in today's broadcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, we are here to help, and you are not alone. Our trained staff will meet you with compassion and confidentiality simply by visiting us at supportafterabortion.com. There you'll find a confidential phone number and contact us, in which our staff are standing by, ready to help you and be of assistance.